Standing. In Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 through 17 on your first blank line there, the reader is shown six of the seven seal judgments. Revelation, the tribulation, in Revelation, breaks down into basically three categories. This is not in your outline, but it breaks down into a world ruined by men. That is the seven seal judgments there. And you remember the seven seals. I know it's going back a ways, but number one, first blank line there, with the first seal judgment were revealed the Antichrist, that rider on a white horse. And he comes, and remember, he has a bow and no arrows, meaning he'll conquer by peace in that. He won't necessarily have to have war at the beginning. By the way, it's always better to have war to have peace than to have peace than have war. Amen. There's a false peace that the Antichrist proposes. So number one, we see the Antichrist. Number two, we see war in Revelation chapter 6. The second horse of the four horsemen that comes is war. Of course, then the third horse following war, which usually follows war, is the horse of famine. Famine, and of course you can go back and look at that, talk about the balances and how food will be rationed, and it will be more expensive. By the way, every time it's rationed, it's more expensive. There's more demand than there is supply. And then number four, we see the fourth horse is that pale horse of death. Death, of course, follows famine and war. The fifth seal of the seal judgments in Revelation 6 is the martyr's cry under the altar. How long? How long, O Lord, until thou judge and avenge thy blood? And we're going to see in this chapter, God is going to make good on that prayer. The sixth seal of the seal judgments is the great earthquake and the changes to the earth and the earth's topography. We looked at that. Then in Revelation 8:1, on the blank line, Revelation 8:1, we have the opening of the seventh seal. And you see there, number seven, there is silence in heaven for approximately 30 minutes. And that seventh seal culminates showing a world ruined by man. And in the tribulation, man is going to get what it has always wanted, and that's a world without God. You see, God's ever present, amen, but He's going to take His hands off this world. When He removes Christians, He's going to remove the influence of the Holy Spirit because, ladies and gentlemen, we're indwelled with the Holy Spirit, amen. When we leave, the vast influence of the Holy Spirit is going to leave, and man is going to be left to his own devices, and he's going to ruin the world. But then the second division we see in Revelation is not only a world ruined by men, but a world ruled by Satan. After there, silence in heaven for approximately 30 minutes, which ushers in the awful seven trumpet judgments on your outline there. Trumpet judgments. And here we see a world ruled by Satan. The first of the trumpet judgments, we see hail and fire mingled with blood in Revelation chapter 8, verse 7. And then we see the second trumpet judgment, a great fiery, as it were, mountain, and it's cast into the sea. The third trumpet judgment, we see the burning star called Wormwood, and I have a joke with my wife. We have nicknames for each other, but when she's in a foul mood, I call her Mara Wormwood, amen? And that means bitterness, amen? A bitter woman sometimes, I joke with her, but it's that gigantic bitter burning star, and it falls to the earth. And then we notice in verse number 4, we see the reduction of days and light, and ladies and gentlemen, we have no idea what that will do to human beings. I know this right now, there is in the Arctic Circle, the suicide rate in the Arctic Circle is through the roof. Why is that, Pastor? No light. No light for 8 months out of a year. And so, the days and nights will change here. Number 5, demonic hordes torment the unsaved for 5 months. And you remember reading this, and the Bible says there that men will seek death and shall not find it. Just imagine a man, Brother Holy, that wants to die and jumps off a 50-story building. He doesn't get to die. God won't let him die. Terrible, terrible thought there, number five. Number six, the sixth of the trumpet judgments. Four fallen angels and their armies slay 1/3 of men. On your outline there, these fifth and sixth trumpet judgments are two of the three woes that were prophesied in Revelation 9:12. It says one woe was past and two more to come. And then Revelation 11:14 talks about how two woes are past and one more is to come. And to come to pass there, Revelation 9:12 and 11:14, to come to pass. The third woe, Revelation 11:14, is the seventh trumpet judgment. A world ruined by men, a world ruled by Satan, and again, not in your outline, but a world reclaimed by God. God owns this world. Amen? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, Psalm 24:1 says. And way back in Revelation chapter 5, that seven-sealed scroll was a title deed to the earth. And there's only one worthy to break the seals and that owns that deed, and it's God. Amen. And so here we find God begins to reclaim the earth. Number seven, the third woe, the seventh trumpet judgment, is all events from Revelation 15:1 to Revelation 20, verse 3. And we didn't have space there to list all the events, but it includes both the seven vial, V-I-A-L, vial, and not V-I-L-E, vial, but V-I-A-L, bowl judgments. And we'll look at these over the next month or so, the fall of Babylon in Revelation 17 and 18. Today, we will examine the first four of the seven last plagues. Second page there. In verse 1, and let's read it together there, look at it with me. It says, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth.'" In verse 1, the great voice of God, and you say, Pastor, how do you know that's the voice of God? Listen, who else would be in His holy temple with the smoke? Amen. By the way, whenever you find the smoke in the temple, you only find one person in the temple, God Himself. Amen. God in the tabernacle. So this great voice of God from out of the heavenly temple, which commands these seven angels to pour out their vials upon the earth. He commands these seven angels to pour out their vials on the earth. This is very neat in this chapter here. The word great, megas, amen, mega, is used no less than 11 times in Revelation chapter 16. It's neat to just go through and take your Bible and either underline or circle where God uses that word great. You have a great voice there in Revelation 16:1, and then you find men scorched with great heat in verse 9. And then if you go down to verse number 12, you find a great river. And then if you go down to verse number 14, it talks about there the great day of God Almighty. And then, of course, through verse 17, 19, 21, 11 times the word great or megas is used. Here it's a great voice that says, "Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God." Number one, the first vial judgment. The first vial judgment is found in verse number 2. "And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image." I want you to notice, first of all, number one, under Roman numeral number one, the description. The description. I want you to hold your place there and go all the way back to Exodus chapter number 9. And again, it's just amazing how God put His Word together and gives us these examples. There are some that will talk about these plagues. And Brother Meyer, they try to explain them away. They say they're not literal. They're literal. They're literal in the New Testament and in Revelation, just like they were in the Old Testament. Amen? And you look at it here in Exodus chapter number 9. Look at verse number 8. And we see here the sixth plague, the sixth judgment here. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take ye handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in the land of Egypt, and it shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout the land of Egypt. And they took the ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh and Moses and sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians." Now listen, folks, you say, "What is that, Pastor? What is that boil breaking forth with blains?" I'm going to tell you this, Brother McGee, I don't know, but it wasn't good. All I know is it was painful. My dad had a boil one time, and that thing was just awful. Oh my goodness, it was just like Job, he had to scrape it out, and oh, it was just, and I cannot imagine how bad this one was, where the Bible says they couldn't even come to Moses and stand. But how much worse? This says here, the description is that it's a noisome and grievous sore. And to tell you the truth, I don't know if the sore makes noise or if the people just cry because of that noisome and grievous sore. Some examples in the Old Testament, and you can look these up on your own, they're very interesting. We have the plague of the golden calf in Exodus chapter number 32, verse 35. If you would, go to me to that next passage there, to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28. And again, God, as He so often does in the Pentateuch, He pronounces a blessing for the obedient. Amen? But He also pronounces a curse for the disobedient. I'm glad I live in the age of grace, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. I hope you do too. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in this age of grace that we live. But here in this dispensation of the law, you look at verse number 15 and it says of Deuteronomy 28, "And it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." And then we see one of these curses down in verse 27. "The Lord will smite thee," now listen to this, folks, this graphic language that God uses, "with the botch of Egypt, and with the emrods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed." Down to verse 35. "The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed from the sole of thy foot to the top of thy head." That second point there, a plague to the disobedient. You, those of you that know 1 Samuel chapter 5, there's a plague upon the Philistines when they took the ark. And the Bible talks about how God smote them with emrods. Terrible, what we would call today hemorrhoids, just terrible and awful plagues. Then, of course, we know that last bullet point there, the plague upon Job. He was head to toe with boils, and he would scrape out the boils. You say, why are you telling that? Because God gives us a description, and He tells us it's noisome and grievous, this sore. But then, not only the description, but a demonstration. This noisome and grievous sore. A sore is an outward demonstration of an inward corruption. That's what a sore is. When you have a sore, how many of you have ever had a sore that got infected? And it was all white, and it was, I've had, since the second to the last softball game of the year. You guys have played softball. Remember when I crashed into the preacher from Brooklyn there and I tore up my knee. It has just healed. Literally. It's been 2 months, 2.5 months, and the boys call it my ouchie when I'm at home. They look for it. They pull up my pant leg and say, ouchie, daddy, ouchie. I said, no, it's all gone, finally. But a sore is an outward demonstration of an inward corruption. These here, these are inwardly corrupt in that they have rejected God and His wonderful love and have turned to Satan. And thus, God lays upon them this terrible outward sore. So you have the description, you have the demonstration, and thirdly, you have the division. It's upon the men which had received the mark of the beast. One of the fascinating things to go back and to look at the plagues of Egypt is how God divided those plagues. When you had this one that we just read of, the sore, it was only on the Egyptians. It wasn't on the Israelites. When you had the murrain of the cattle, do you know the Israelite cattle didn't die? Why? Because God's God. Amen. He knows who are His and who's not. Praise the Lord. So we see the division there. The division is God knows that are His. Number two, we see the second vile judgment in verse number 3, going all the way back to Revelation 16 there. We just see the second vile judgment. It says, and the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea. So the first one here poured his vial upon the earth. The second one poured it upon the sea. And it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. The sea becomes like the blood of a dead man. And God is very good about telling us whether it is the blood of a dead man or it's like the blood of a dead man. So here he says it's like the blood of a dead man, and everything in it dies. Everything in all the salt water, men, sea creatures, anything with life in the sea dies here. Okay? There were previews of this in Egypt with the first plague. Of course, we remember Moses turned the Nile into blood, the Bible says. And the fish died, and the river stank, and all Egypt stank, it tells us there. And then again, the second trumpet judgment in Revelation chapter 8, verse 8 and 9. You remember that great fiery mountain was cast into the sea, and that which was in the sea died. But this is the complete death of marine life on a worldwide scale. Folks, I was talking to Brother Horst today. He stopped in with Nancy and just getting her out. And we had in New England one time in Massachusetts, we had something called red tide. Red tide is a just a terrible thing. You can't fish. You can't swim. You can't even go on the beaches when there's red tide. It's just a terrible disease of the water, basically. Can you imagine? This is God's red tide. Because the sea is going to be as blood, and everything in the sea died. Last month, Carrie and I were walking on the beach in Massachusetts, and we were on the bayside. And we're on the bayside and we're walking. If you've never walked on an East Coast beach before, there's all kinds of things that come up during tide. And we're looking and we see a crab shell. We look at it. We give it a kick. It was dead. We're walking, looking, and all of a sudden we saw a small shark that had washed up on shore about this big. It was dead. Eyes were gone. And, of course, the gulls had plucked. I cannot imagine when those waves come in, Brother Morris, that everything would be dead. And what that would do to the earth. But that is the second vile judgment. Everything in the sea died. Number 3 on the back page there, we see the third vile judgment beginning in verse number 4. is the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains. So first one was on the earth, second one was on the sea, third one here on the rivers and fountains of the waters, and they became blood. Now this time it says they became blood. Okay? So number one under there, we see the corruption. Just as the salt water has become corrupt by the second vial judgment, so it is with the fresh water here. So first it was just the salt water. And by the way, in case you don't know it, you need water to survive. Amen. You need water to drink. How many of you have ever had a time where you had to boil water, but you still had to have it? Amen. You still had to have it. And this is a case here. Now the fountains and the fresh water is corrupt, the corruption. We see in verse 5 the vindication. It says, "And I heard an angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because Thou hast judged us." By the way, you could say that any time you wanted about God and you'd be correct. Thou art righteous because Thou hast judged such. Hey, listen, even in your dark moments when you think God has been unfair, you know what you can say? Thou art righteous because Thou hast judged thus. But here there's a vindication. There's also a vindication of the righteous judgment and holiness of Almighty God. And we give you a reference there in Genesis chapter 18, verse 25. The last part of the verse says this: "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Amen and amen. He will do right. It's all he can do. Amen. He's righteous. But then we see not only the corruption and the vindication, we see the collection. You say, what do you mean there by the collection, Pastor? It says, "For they have shed the blood of saints," verse 6, "and prophets, and Thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are Thy judgments." We give you two cross references there. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Hosea 8:7 says, "If you sow to the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind." These workers of iniquity thought they could get by with impunity with slaying God's servants. Oh no. Oh no. God keeps perfect records. Amen. If you look at your outline there, there's an extremely ironic reversal of those enemies of His that have shed the blood of His servants. What is the reversal? Those God-haters that have shed blood are now made to drink blood. Or they've got to drink something. And the fountains of the waters have been broken up. They're blood. Extremely ironic. Listen, God is just. He's just. And by the way, thank God He's merciful. He showed mercy. Everyone that enters the tribulation, I can guarantee you God showed mercy. I can guarantee you. Because why? Because His offer of mercy extends to the rapture. And that means there it was, the opportunity, God's mercy. Number four, the fourth vial judgment in verses 8 and 9. You find it, "And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun." So we have there the fourth angel upon the sun, the third angel upon the rivers and fountains, the second angel upon the sea, and the first angel upon the earth. And isn't it amazing that at the beginning of the chapter that God says, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, Go your ways." They were all going a different direction, weren't they? One went here, one went to the sun, one went to the earth, one went to the waters, one went to the sea. But here, this fourth vial judgment, we see in verse number 9, "And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give Him glory." Now, first thing we see there is we see the sun. The fourth angel pours out his vial upon the sun. Amazing. How powerful is an angel? Powerful enough to get close to the sun that you and I can't even look at. Amen. Unless you're a dumb 8-year-old like we all were. He looked up at the sun. He went blind for a second. He said, I'm not doing that again. Well, here's this angel. He literally gets as close to the sun as possible, and he pours out this vial of the wrath of God on the sun. Then we see, number two, not only the sun, but we see the scorching. We see the scorching. It is as if God gives them a small taste of their eternity. The sun literally scorches them with heat. Imagine. By the way, it's just a taste for what's waiting for them. And that is eternal fire. Let's get a grasp of that, folks. Amen. The neighbor, our neighbors that aren't saved, eternal fire. Good people go to hell because there's none good, no, not one. God, give us a holy boldness and a zeal to realize this is what's waiting. The sun, the scorching. Then we see in verse 9, the swearing. And blasphemed the name of God. What do? They blaspheme the name of God. And then we see one of the most incredible verses. Verse number 9 at the end, it says, verse number 9, it says, and they blaspheme the name of God which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give Him glory. Number 4, we see the sovereign. The sovereign. What do you mean? Our omnipotent God is in charge of these plagues. Our all-powerful God. And they look at Him and they blaspheme His name because they know He is God. Lastly, we see the sun, the scorching, the swearing, the sovereign. We see the sin in verse 9. What's the sin? They repented not to give Him glory. Here, men who harden their hearts to God and worship Satan do not repent and give God the glory due Him. And I have a cross reference there. I want you to go to it. It's in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. You can write that down there on that blank line. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, and we'll close tonight. And this is the glory that they don't give Him. In Matthew 10, 28. This is the glory they gave to Satan. Perhaps some willingly received the mark. Perhaps some did so under duress. But here, Jesus gives the great command, fear not them which are able to kill the body and are not able to kill the soul. And I go back to that verse in Revelation where it says, here is the patience of the saints. When I think of that verse, I think, here is the patience of the saints that said, do your worst to me during the tribulation. I believe God. You can kill my body, but you can't kill my soul. I think of the martyrs throughout the ages, Brother Kelly, that have stood and said, light the fires, in a few minutes I'll be with Jesus. Fear not them which are able to kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. They repented not to give Him glory here. God is certainly worthy of glory. Amen. By the way, I believe they will go to hell not repenting. They will bow the knee, because the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. But I believe they'll not repent. There will be some that'll scream and cuss God till the day they are cast in the lake of fire. For us, ladies and gentlemen, thank God we're saved. Hey, let's be in the business of trying to help other people get saved. Amen. Father, we love you.